It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champions on Baxter Street. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I'll be your host for the next hour. I am joined by Jim Donnan, former Georgia head coach of the Bulldogs here. So if you have questions, go ahead and send them in. If you're watching this on Facebook, you can send them in to us. If you're catching the podcast later, you know, if you're working out or something like that, don't hesitate to go to the 11 Live Facebook page and set up a question for next week. We'll definitely get to it. Joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting guru at UGASports.com. And
Guru,
yeah.
I guess.
And, you know, it's funny. We never talk about UGASports.com. This is actually where we work and what we do, and we never have our own commercial.
You know, need to get some.
Yeah.
You
know, so
anybody, how much they got to pay to get on there?
27 cents a day.
Hey, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So you can check out all the scoop we have.
I mean, I'm not saying that's a lot. I'm saying that's great for, you know, I never did really look at these sites until I – worked with you guys a little bit, but occasionally y'all will send me something to look at, but man, y'all got the scam on there.
Well,
I mean, you got the inside skinny.
Is that a Barry Switzer version of scoop?
Yeah, I
okay,
mean
scam.
Scam.
Because scam,
man,
has a different connotation for me. I'm always like, what am I doing wrong?
No, I mean, you got the scoop, scam, skinny, you got it all. 3, 2, 1.
We
everything.
Do. We
when
do.
When are we going to have one of those again?
We'll put one out this week. We got some tidbits that we're going to throw out.
I
for
like
that
3, 2, 1 on recruiting, too.
Oh, I appreciate
you copying
that.
Your daddy there?
Thank you. Yeah. Like father, like
he
son.
He calls himself War Daddy.
Yeah. No, that's one of the levels of posts we have. So,
War Daddy?
War Daddy. When you post a lot, then you were considered a War Daddy. That is a tribute to one of our longtime posters who is no longer with us. This guy, Graham Turnbull, had been with us forever. And sadly, he passed away. Graham would call those big offensive linemen the Chilardos, as you call them. He called them War Daddy.
I told him about the War Daddies, too. But
exactly. So some good of our posters can achieve that,
I mean,
level.
What do they have to post to get on there in the War Daddy?
That's just a sheer number of posts and number
like
of years
how many?
You've been around. You're probably about 5,000.
What do those people do? They have a job?
not really. No, we have people with 200,000 posts on our board.
Themselves?
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Individuals.
Wow.
So
it blew,
you know,
my mind when I started working there. I will say that.
Well, so, you got to have opinions, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, they do. And that's the thing. We spend all day talking Georgia football back and forth on the dog vent at UGASports.com, so check it out.
We got Larry and Chandra here from Villa Rica today, too,
yeah,
which is a nice little pickup here to have them coming in here and been watching the show. And
pair of five-star recruits came all the way up from Villa Rica to check out the show, so we appreciate them swinging by. We are in Champions. If you have never been by here, you need to come by and pick up some of the best fried chicken you will ever get. We'll talk more about Champions. And notice right now we have the sausage, cheese, and pickle plate out. One of our absolute favorites. You notice it's down there by the coach. So
what are y'all going to need after I eat all the sausage? I mean, the pickles and cheese are good, but
The sausage there.
This is five-star right here. I'm serious.
It really is.
I mean,
and
what's
you can't,
it, what
you can't get
it
anywhere else.
There?
I don't know where he says that he gets it from a special vendor. So Josh here at Champions has this ridiculous sausage. And, of course, like I said, everything here is good. But when you come in, get that sausage, pickle, and cheese plate, you are going to be very, very happy. And they asked us, what do we want? I'm like, well, this is what I want for the show. Not that I'll ever see any of it. We're going to jump right into spring football practice at the University of Georgia. We got some stuff to talk about. Might even talk a little baseball and basketball. But real quick, I'm going to run through our sponsors. First and foremost, we have Athens Ford, the home of the lifetime powertrain warranty, the only place you can get it here in Athens. It's the only Ford dealership in Athens. I'm going to tell you more about their deals they have going on later on in the show. Big shout-out to Europie. We noticed we had some Europie people in here for the show very recently. So thanks to Europie for being a big sponsor of the show. Academia, our newest sponsor. Big shout-out to Academia. Tonight I will be at their beer dinner. They're going to have four beer pourings. Right now I'm drinking their ESB. Jake has it too. So we're going to drink their ESB while we're doing the show. But tonight they will have three-course meal with four different beer pourings. I think there's still a couple tickets left, so jump on that if you want to come out tonight to Academia and jump into that. Want to shout out to Cable East. I noticed that on Millage at the end of millage, somebody had dug, put in those cables to go on the ground and pop up on the other end.
Oh, yeah.
That's the sort of thing that Cable East does. And not that you can rent from, but you can go buy anything from those guys. But
if you're someone in need of
If you're a government contractor and you need
call this man.
Cables put in, big shout out to Robert Wall out in Statham for being a sponsor of the show. 365 Game Day, I noticed that they have these new tumblers. They were advertising them on their site. Those were really sharp-looking camouflage, pink, all the different ones with the big Georgia logo on it. So check out 365 Game Day for all of your gear. And anyway, I think that's about it. We have a lot of sponsors.
Sure.
Which is great. Coach, I want to talk to you a little bit about spring camp. Well, talked to you a lot about it, but there was a scrimmage. We didn't get to see a lot of it. You know, we only got to see the guys kind of warming up before their scrimmage. My takeaway from the scrimmage, and you know, we got to talk to Kirby afterwards, was that the offense is considerably ahead of the defense. Now, my thought would be in the spring, the defense would be ahead of the offense simply because, you know, you're replacing some guys. I don't want to say defense is simpler, but it seems like, you know, there'd be less to deal with there. But Georgia's replacing a ton of guys on defense, defensive line, both outside linebackers, you know, two major pieces in the secondary. Roquan Smith.
Well, here's the difference.
So we shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Here's the difference now, Roddy, and I think the people that listen to our show or watch it, a couple weeks ago we brought about the fact that the NCAA is letting you actually have some on-the-field type stuff where you can have meetings and everything
like without 8 hours a week.
Without a football. Yeah. And the 8 hours include the lifting, everything. You have eight hours with the kids, but it used to be 8 hours, but you couldn't actually go out and do any football on the field. So having that ability to go out and do walkthroughs with the offense has helped them as far as their execution, knowledge of assignment, things like that. So if you just went out to practice 3 or 4 years ago and the first time you'd actually run through a play was that day,
right. Hard
to execute it compared to having 3 or 4 weeks build up on putting your whole installation in, puts you ahead as far as the execution. And the difference between an offensive player and a defensive player is you got to handle the ball, you know, and you got to know what to do and all that. So it's a very tedious situation to put everything in the spring, but I think the carryover value, the fact that so many of these offensive linemen are pretty set and knowing what to do, the fact you got so many good skill guys that know what to do, wide receiver and also tight end, and you add the fact you got a veteran quarterback that knows the whole system, just makes it a lot easier to execute. And you just really don't know what all the defense has put in to this point. So, I mean, I don't have the benefit of knowing what actually happened. I do know that the plan was to go out and do some one on, you know, one versus two, like one offense versus two defense and vice versa. But also a lot of situational stuff where it would be red zone, like 10 plays where you actually take and try to get it in there and with the defense stopping. And the same thing with third down type situations, third and short, third and long. So a combination of all that. And it's just like regardless of how you feel as the head coach, when you go into a press deal with all you guys, I was an offensive coach more. And when we didn't have a great day, I had a tendency to talk about how good the defense played. And the same thing's true here with Kirby. You know, he deep down, he wants everything to go good. So there's some areas on defense that got to be shored up, and the depth situation makes it harder to have two teams go out there and be good.
Sure.
You know, your first and second team. So I feel good about our first team defense. Second team's got a ways to go, a lot of inexperience. But you got to remember they're going against one of the best offensive groups in the country
True. When
number two defense goes out there. So, but that's a quick synopsis of why maybe that happened. But I mean, I'm fired up about some of these receivers. J.J. Holloman is just really going to be a big plus for us, the fact that he's going to add on to the guys that have continued to improve. We see Godwin. We see Mecole playing really good. You know, those guys are going to just stand out, and then you add those tight ends. So I just think we've got a really good situation there with the receivers too, and the O-line's got great competition.
Well, you mentioned Holloman being able to bring something to that group. You know, what different dynamic do you think that he can create for those guys?
Well, you know, he's got the good size, first of all, and he's very explosive and very athletic. And physically tough enough to, you know, really create some line of scrimmage runs for us too. The, you know, as tough as Terry is and McCole are, you know, they're both little smaller guys, but they feisty, get after you type blockers. But Holloman, you know, a lot like Wims, you know, not as tall, but gives you a guy there. And Tyler Simmons, boy, he's tough too. And there's one other one that I wanted to mention that's kind of failing me. There, name a couple more receivers.
Riley Ridley?
Oh, of course. I don't know how I forgot number eight. But, you know, he's got a lot to build on with that big game he had against Alabama. So we just got a very good situation. Jackson looks good coming in. You know, he can return punts too. I don't know who they're going to decide on a punt returner, because all those guys, you know, Crumpton. And Jackson looked good back there catching it. And that's one of the good things about competition. You know, it really helps you there.
Give me Meekle back there.
Well, that's a given. We knew that. I mean, I'm just talking about there's competition there, but I would say Meekle. And then you got
– you know, you bring up Kyrus, and I spent a little time watching the wide receivers the other day, and Kyrus Jackson, you know, we talk about a lot of the early enrollees. We kind of roll past Kyrus Jackson pretty quickly. And, again, I know I bring up this every time we talk about him, but this is one of the most explosive athletes – we've ever covered. I mean, just pound for pound.
Yeah,
he really is. Why don't we just go through 1 through 9 real and just like 1 through 9, call them out, and I'll give you a quick synopsis.
All right,
of where
that
they
sounds
are.
Great.
All right, let's go Mays. Mays looks good in his uniform, can come off the ball very solid and really competitive right there at number two right tackle. Number two quarterback, Justin Fields, we knew what he was going to be able to do, and he's already come in here. I think Kirby got on y'all about saying he'd hit the wall. I guarantee he's really ahead of the curve as far as I'm concerned, knowing what to do.
Really?
We just talked about Jackson. I mean, what else can you ask for in that situation? He really looks good in his uniform, too, and can come off the football. Come on, hit me with the other ones here.
Brenton Cox.
Cox, I told you when we first had the show, I mean, wow. I mean, you talk about a guy that just comes off the bus and looks what he's supposed to do. Looks like a football player. He's got good reaction, is very, very explosive. And I'm glad he's a dog instead of going to Ohio State.
I bet. I think Kirby is as well. Zamir White, injured.
White, now, you just walk up to him and you think you're walking up to Todd Gurley, but maybe a little taller. Really on top of things, working hard. I haven't been out there to watch him to go through the stuff with Ron Corson, but he's way ahead of the curve as far as, you know, having the surgery here. They did a good job with it, and he'll be ready to go.
Warren Erickson.
Well, Warren Erickson really kind of behind the scenes, because you hear so much about these other guys like Hill, which we're going to jump up there and have a beer on here in a second. But Warren Erickson, very credible kid. He looks very solid. He knows what to do. He actually snaps the ball left-handed, a lot like Brandon Cablano did. And he really is impressive as far as his knowledge of assignment and technique. Glad he's here. He's got a good future.
Another guy who got injured very recently, Devod Wilson.
Well, I hated that. I mean, he had such a great spring camp as far as working out and doing the stuff, working against everybody else. And he started out there at Star and did a really good job. From what I've heard, he was just really pennies from heaven, what you needed with the guys we lost. And he'll be able to help us. It's going to be hard maybe to play next fall, but he's going to be way ahead of the game next spring, having a year to rehab. Maybe he'll be ready at the end of the year. Who knows?
Yeah, it looks a lot better than I thought he would coming in, too. I've been very impressed with his size. And Trey Hill, I believe.
Is that last and not least?
I believe it is.
Well, we talked about Trey Hill on the first, and I think Roddy had the scoop on him talking about it. One of the biggest surprises of the spring. Not that he's a good player, but the fact, you know, he lost so much weight and everybody in spring game just needs to go down. If you can get close to the field, just go down there and look at the size of his thighs. I mean, just
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, we were getting a little bit of grief about that.
Well, I mean, you're talking about Georgia Tech cheerleaders. What do you expect? That's not good there. You were busting the man.
I said that his thighs are about as thick as the average Georgia Tech cheerleader.
Yeah, but seriously, though, a very versatile guy, can play guard, can play center, and he's got everybody's attention. A D-line coach, everybody knows, along with Coach Pittman, who is fired up about him because he gives you the competition you need. You know, you just don't expect a guy to be that ready this quick, but he's very talented. And I'll be surprised if he's not right there.
I got one more for you. I did leave one guy off, and that's Devontae Wyatt.
Well, we shouldn't have left him off because he's been around here a lot longer, having signed 2 years ago and then having to go to JUCO. And the one thing I've always felt about a JUCO kid that didn't – whether regardless of why he wasn't here or was here, you know, is the fact that they realize this is a second chance for him. You know, this is an opportunity, what they missed that first semester, having to go out there. And you know, it's not like it's a drudgery or anything, but it's a big difference between being in a junior college and being at the University of Georgia. So, really, they have a tendency to really feel a little bit more, you know, feel good about everything compared to finding something wrong with it, you know. And I think so far, some of these guys been leaving early, you know, with Thompson leaving early and things like that, and we're graduating some guys. He's getting a good look, and he's going to have a good future here.
We got a comment in here from Ab Harding that I think we should touch on very quick. He says, Kiaris Jackson just doesn't seem to have that elite speed, though. I personally, from my standpoint, I don't think it matters. He's plenty
quick.
Well,
there's been a lot of guys in the NFL. Exactly. Larry Fitzgerald, you go through a lot of guys in the – Hines Ward, I mean, doesn't have – don't tell Hines. He'll come over here and kick my butt. But, you know, I'm just saying that the situation is
– Man, just a Hall of Famer.
There's not many guys that run 4-4 and just run away from you. But the way things are now with the back shoulder fade and the fade route, just so prominent in football because everybody playing press coverage because you got to get everybody up there to support the run. So you got to have corners playing these guys. And if you can get off the line, I don't care how fast you are, you're going to get open. If you beat a guy one step and you got a guy like Fromm or Fields throwing the ball to you, you're going to – we saw it last year. We saw how many times we hit the fade, the back shoulder fade. That was a big part of our offense. And Wims is not a real fast guy, but you know he's very high, has good height, and could go up and get it. So I think Jackson, certainly, to me, I think you'll have a really good career here based on what I've seen so far.
Well, and you mentioned one thing that I think a lot of people forget about his game, and maybe you don't see if you haven't seen him play in person or you haven't watched a bunch of his film. That ability of his to go up and get it, to wrestle that ball away in the air, he is about as tough of a guy in the air as you could be up against. He's so strong, he's so well put together, and he's aggressive in that situation.
He jumps about 40 inches.
Exactly. He's got an incredible 40.
That's a real good point from your perspective, but from the standpoint, if you just see how many plays in college football are contested
right.
as compared to and with all the old zone coverage where a guy catches the ball and then gets tackled. But, you know, defensive backs are all around you now because of the way they play, a lot more aggressive. And I just believe that his skill level will be very good. And the thing that happens with our site and all these other comparative figures and all, everybody has a tendency to look at these measurables and, you know, make an instantaneous – feeling, and I'm not talking about the guy that just asked this, but let's base everything on what a guy does once the ball snapped and everything. There's a reason why Kirby Smart recruited this guy.
Oh, no question.
Well, I'll say this about Kiaris Jackson, and A brings up a good point. Yeah, he's not going to be one of the fastest guys out there, but remember, this is a guy who wins the shot put as a wide receiver. He's out there with all these offensive linemen, you know, and he takes
shows
this thing.
Explosiveness.
Exactly, and it comes out of his knees, his thighs, his hips. He fires out of that thing, then punches that shot put out there, wins the state track championship in his classification. Now, imagine you're in that your press coverage against him, you know, and they tell you to get your hands on him, disrupt his route. And when he pushes off on you, because he's going to hit you dead center, you know, not say dead center, he's going to get half a man, he's going to turn you. And when he fires off and hits you, it's not like Terry Godwin hitting you. This isn't like Akil Crumpton hitting you. This is a man who's going to turn that cornerback sideways and take off. And if they're bumping, going down, and he, you know how you get that little push off to get separation? His push is going to be stronger than a lot of other guys. And
right. And the other thing,
if you give him that much window and you give him the ball here, like you said, it's contested. That ball's coming back. I mean, his arms are like this, you know.
You don't put
even Tyler Simmons too. I give
Tyler Simmons
credibility for now. That's your speed demon, but if there is a contested ball, Tyler Simmons is going to wrap his arms around it and pull that thing in.
And to your point there, the thing about Kiaris, he can play inside, but you're not a punt returner with the stats that he has, unless you really have an explosive first couple steps. You know, I mean, you got to be able to miss that first guy that's coming down. And if you can do that, then there's a lot of things can happen for you. And the other thing that he's good at, just watching him a little bit, is catching the punt. Effortless. You know, some guys can catch a punt, and it looks like they're fighting their, you know, it's life or death every time they catch it. This guy just looks smooth as a baby's ankles every time. Just brings that baby in and just smooth. And, of course, McColl's the same way. The thing about McColl, he can be running fast at his first step. And the one kick returner we forgot to mention there, who's not a punt return, but Elijah Holyfield's the same way. I mean, very explosive after his first couple.
Yeah.
And sometimes guys are different on punt returns and kickoffs because you want somebody just to hit that gash on a punt return a kickoff return because he's got a full head of steam going there. You know what I mean? He's already got 10 or 15 yards rolling. And if he can just make that first burst like he did against Notre Dame, then that really makes a lot of difference.
Can you think of a worse guy to have to face with a full head of steam than Elijah Holyfield? He's high on my list of guys I would not want to go against when he's coming down charging.
Maybe Isaiah Wilson. Yeah.
Well, go back to that Notre Dame game where I think the guy in the lane three kind of alligator armed it. You know, he's like, oh, I missed him, coach. I tried, but my arms sort of shortened up as he got closer and closer. Hey, before we get too much
further. They don't say to Holyfield when he gets ready to catch, you know, when you go down there to – sometimes you go down there, they'll try to get you to miss a ball or something. They don't say, who's your daddy?
that kid's scary. That was a great synopsis of the early enrollees. And
tried to get it through quick.
You did. And so if that's the only part of the show you heard, fantastic. But if you're going to continue, I want you to – we'll say that part was sponsored by – Athens Ford, and I'm going to give you a couple quick deals here. You can go out to Athens Ford right now in April, because these are good through April 30th, and get the Ford Focus 2018 for $14,120.
Wow.
A $14,000 really? Vehicle. Or you can lease it for $199 a month for 36 months.
That's about $17,000 off MSRP, or $7,000 off MSRP.
You're saving $7,000. You get $3,000 off from Athens Ford and then $4,000 off from the manufacturer. And I rode in this. I went to the Masters. So I had to work that in.
I was here working.
We drove to Augusta in a 2018 Ford Fusion. My buddy Mark has one of those.
When were you down there?
Friday. So we drove to went to Augusta in a Ford Fusion, and I will say that was a fantastic ride. So you can get one of those for $6,000 off. I can't beat that. Or you can lease it for $199 a month.
Patrick Reed send you some tickets?
We're going to talk about Patrick Reed.
I figure.
Yeah, we're tight. Like, you know, we are similar. We're both fat guys, but he can play golf.
This guy is very svelte now. He's made some serious. I talked to him the first time I was on the show. I said, if you don't get your ass in shape, I ain't coming anymore. ready to go.
Yeah, so I had to do that to keep the coach in place. If you want a Ford Escape, which is kind of – I'm looking trying to decide between an Escape and a Explorer – that you can get one of those right now for $18,345.
Wow.
So under $20,000.
0% APR for 60 months.
Yep. Start giving us some financing, too. I
like
it.
Well, they got, like you said, the 0% APR for 60 months for qualified.
For how many?
60 months.
Is that 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that North Carolina math coming out.
That's serious now. 5 years, 5 years, just make a routine payment, no interest.
Right, and here's my thing: the Ford Explorer, the 2018 one, they got it for $8,000 off. So I might have to have one of these before the end of the month. So, or you can lease it for $399 a month for 39 months for qualified buyers. It's payment plus tax and fees, $399 down, 10,500 miles a year, and. Now, if you want that Ford F-150, because we also talked about maybe getting that for the site, $14,000 off on a 2018 Ford F-150.
How you get all those guys in an F-150, though, with all your people? You can put somebody in the cab. And if you got to don't get any scoop.
I get to ride on the luggage rack.
It's got a bed that will fit my staff. They can all lay down across the back.
He's going to put us under the tiny cover.
I get one of those campers.
Work out where y'all around all that campground where you stay when you go over to Attic Town.
Absolutely. Hey, we got a trip to Baton Rouge coming up.
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
That's a good trip.
And we go back to Missouri, too, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Yes.
I'm going to give you some places to go in Columbia.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, when we fly into Kansas City, there will be a – we will go from the airport straight to Q39. The barbecue place, Q39.
We've been talking about it literally since we left the last time, since we flew out.
Is that in Kansas City or
Columbia? It's Kansas City.
Yeah, so we'll stop there, and then we'll probably stop by on the way back and then get a couple to-go orders. But, yeah.
That one place in Kansas City that always – everybody talked about the ribs there, but when you walk – before you even get through the door, they say, "Hi, may I help you?" You know, before you even get in, I'd say, "Hey, I got to at least look at the dang menu before you help me."
Oh, there's a ton of them. I mean, Jack Stacks is, yeah. But I will say this, the best barbecue we've ever had was a Q39 in Kansas City. 39th Street Barbecue, so you can remember it that way. I don't go there because we don't want to have a long line.
Yes. You know?
That's
so
a good
we
place.
Play them fairly early, too, don't we?
Yeah.
We've got a couple shout-outs. Alan Vermonix says, "Go Dogs" from Valdosta. James Anderson says, "Franklin, Georgia," checking in. Yeah. We got Val Rico checking in. Jim Bruffy out
there.
We
got anybody from Eastern Asia or anything calling in?
Well, we do have Josh Collins down at Isla Morado.
Is that where Josh is?
Yeah, he's out having a nice time
fishing.
That's
too bad. I mean, he's fishing.
Just for that, we're going into behind the bar here while he's going to say hi to us from his fishing joint. The bar is unattended, Josh. We're about to go tear it up.
And Key West also checking in here. So
hey.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in, as always.
You know, we do have a lot of military guys that check out the
show.
That's
true.
We've had a guy, he said he was in his second deployment, and he says he catches the show when he can and the podcast when he can't. So shout out to all our guys in the military and women as well who are making it safe for us to actually do a show on a Tuesday where we get to drink Academia beer.
It's ridiculous.
So
a couple questions starting to roll in here. A couple people still want to talk a little bit about spring practice. Dennis Adams here has an interesting question, and it's one that I know is on the mind of a lot of Georgia fans, especially with the guys they're bringing in this year. He says, "You think the tight ends will be used more in the passing game this year? We have much talent with size in that group."
Well, there's a real paradox there because last year we had such great running game that we use our tight ends more for blocking, and we got so many people that were configured close to the line of scrimmage to stop the run that the really base passes were more adept at throwing to the outside, you know, where he had less coverage. So here's the idea. If you're playing – man coverage and you got the tight end and you're playing some kind of run support, you're going to be a lot closer to that tight end than you are on zone. So we're going to take the easiest throw, and most of the time the throw to the outside is a lot easier where you don't get that JoJo coverage inside where they could be inside out on the tight end and the back. And Jake did a marvelous job of using that. So I think the combination of having such a good running game, the fact that we didn't throw that much, but when we did, we really hit some big plays. As compared to the year before, we were trying to just make first downs. I think we'll probably use them a little bit more because even though our backs are going to be good, I don't know if we'll have quite the backs we had last year. It depends on what happens with White and how he comes along. But I think Coach Chaney just going to use, you know, the old philosophy, take what they give you. But certainly he makes a good point when you got guys that player of the year as a freshman, you know, like Nauta, and then he only caught like 10 balls last year, and then it makes you look at what you can do to get him the ball, and of course Werner and then these other guys. So I think we'll see a little bit more of that, but not to the point where you know, it's the main focus. We just got so many explosive guys on the outside like Hardeman and, you know, and all these other guys, and Terry Godwin. People don't realize how good Terry's going to be a really good pro receiver.
I think so as well, absolutely. He's got a little bit of that Steve Smith in him. He's, yeah. You know, that nasty.
I mean, you just don't jump up and catch the ball with one hand like that.
Right.
Unless you're Beckham.
Yeah, right.
And can you believe, really, that year that they had Beckham
and
Jarvis Landry on the same team? Yeah. They scored 40-some on us, and we still won.
They've
over here, remember that game?
Yeah, absolutely.
They put some – interesting. They've used their offensive weapons in some interesting ways.
Only quarterback
ways
they've
there.
Had any has ever done anything in the last 7 or 8 years was, you know, getting the kid from here that transferred in there. I mean, I think LSU's gonna have some issues on offense this year. I mean, I hope they do because I, you know. But,
well, yeah, well, we see them this fall, so that's a good point. You know, when Beckham was drafted, this is the one time I've gotten a tweet correctly. I said, there's the best receiver in the draft. And remember, that draft class was full of top-flight wide receivers, and I got lit up for it. Then all of a sudden, he starts signing contracts and making catches. And I'm like, yeah, I got one right. Now, I've been
you
wrong.
You get a lot right.
No, I'm not wrong about 90% of the time, but to your point,
you weren't right,
Beckham.
You weren't wrong about Jonas Hayes.
Right, we got that one right. But that was more Dan McDonald saying.
Well, he works for you. You're the boss.
Yeah, I get to take credit for that somehow. Absolutely.
But, you know, I would say that anybody's getting on Jonas for leaving here. The main thing you got to remember about any guy at a young age like that, and it's like I told Mike Bobo, I said, there comes a point where, you know, you become part of the woodwork, you know, what else can you do where you are? And you have a better chance of maybe coming back or getting a job going somewhere else and establishing yourself than you do actually hanging around, particularly when you change coaches. And I think Coach Crean certainly tried to keep him, but I don't blame
him.
No,
I can't blame
Jonas. He got a chance to go to one of the premier places
in
the country. It just goes to show you what kind of reputation he has, you
no
know,
question.
To be for a young coach that just taken over his first job, go after a guy like him. So let's just.
No, I think Mike. You bring up Mike Bobo, and I made the same point when Mike took the job out at Colorado State. Mike and Jonas are looked at Georgia guys who are back at Georgia, and sometimes you've got to leave. Now, granted, you know he's coached elsewhere, but sometimes you have to leave to show that you're worth it. Hey, Kirby Smart worked out for Kirby Smart.
Exactly.
You know? So I think that as Mike Bobo progresses, and we kind of have a running joke that Mike Bobo is going to kill it wherever, but that's because he is. Mike is going to get better and better and better.
He's going to be
one of the premier coaches in the country before all said and done.
Mike
as
Bobo
is Jonas, and Jonas Hayes will tell you. Because there was a couple head coaching jobs that popped open.
Sure.
And Jonas was like, you know, I'm ready for him, but he doesn't say it with the conviction. He knows that he's developing, and if you can develop at a place like Xavier,
right?
Think about that on your resume. Okay, you were at Georgia. You know, you played at Georgia. They feel like you have that kind of in there. But if you can prove yourself at Xavier, come on. That's like being at Kentucky or Villanova, you know, UNC, Duke. All of a sudden, it's like, yeah, we got an assistant coach from there. And so all of a sudden, his head coach prospects go through the roof. And congratulations to Jonas and Coach Steele for hiring him away. So as much as I hate that he's not here because Georgia needs Jonas Hayes, he has given so much to Georgia and done so much for them that all we can do is give him his congratulations.
Right.
So.
All right, I got a few people wanting to get back to the spring practice.
Let's go
spring
to
practice.
It.
Oh, but wait, but there's only one drawback to him going up there. We found out today Ashton Hagans committed to Kentucky, and Jonas Hayes was a major reason that Ashton Hagans,
sure,
the five-star point guard, was committed to Georgia.
Well, Coach Fox had something to do with it.
He did, too, I'm just saying, but that was, you know, that was a big part of it. And the day after it's announced that he's going to Xavier, Hagans commits to Kentucky. So –
it would have been really something committed to Xavier.
Crean's got his work cut out for him,
yes,
in this
does.
Recruiting class.
Yes,
he he had a couple of real good ones when he came in, but obviously those guys got to do what's best for him.
Right.
So shout out.
Didn't mean to interrupt
guys.
You, but I figured. Well,
No.
Hey, let's go.
Let's get
it.
All our basketball into one spot.
All right. Yeah, sorry. We'll get away from that now. Sean Forsyth says, "Do you guys see Wyatt getting a lot of good reps during the season?"
I think a lot of it has to do with how these young guys come in and play and how much he develops. We talked about it last week. We might not substitute as much depending on how much these guys develop. But, you know, our front line looks good. I mean, Clark in there, you know, Rochester, Ledbetter, those guys, players. Mucky. I mean, there's some players in there. We'll just have to see. I will say this. I was only over there for a little while the other day. They had that Georgia Way deal, the branch off of the Paul Oliver, and
some
of my ex-players were there. I got a chance just to talk to Josh Millard on the phone a little bit. But
love Josh.
I'm going to just tell you this. Jordan Davis.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know. I had no idea how humongous that kid is. I'm talking about certainly his quickness is something he's going to work on and all, and they'll do a good job with him in the weight room. But you talk about a guy on the eyeball test that just makes my mouth water. The one thing I did leaving there was I was so impressed with the way he handled himself, you know, his just being able to converse. I told him I used to live in Charlotte, and we talked about, you know, his high school, and he asked me where I lived and all. He was very cordial. And then Channing Tindall. Oh.
He's put together, isn't he?
I mean, you can see these guys' picture, and you can do all that. Right. But one of the reasons you listen and watch this show, hear the old coach just say, I mean, come on, man.
I mean, well, that's why we work so hard to get him in camps.
You guys go and get to watch those 10 minutes and everything. I don't go over there any to analyze any recruits, but I just happened to be walking by there on my way out and saw those two. And I asked one of the trainers, I said, is that Jordan Davis? I was hoping it was him. And not some 10-year pro defensive lineman. And just went up and introduced myself. But I mean, everybody there should go on and buy one of those beers based on the way they look.
Yes, absolutely.
I was impressed with Tindall. You know, he talked to me. He said, hey, I've been watching these things. And one day he actually went over and watched the offensive line. But I think that's another tribute to Kirby Smart, that these kids, even though they can't come in the spring like the other nine, they took their spring break and came down here and spent a couple of days. And that's going to make it better for them going back, because they've had a chance to meet one-on-one with our weight coach, to watch practice, work on some things that between now and June is going to help them get ready. So when they get here, they won't be that far behind. And I'm sure Salyer's coming over here and some of these other guys. We saw the kid from Marist there one day you reported was here.
I think Aziz came by too, didn't
he? Yeah, Aziz Ojulari's been out there. So
yeah, hey, there's another guy that makes my mouth water. You get two guys like him and Cox.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And Anderson.
Now, Anderson's my guy. That's the kid that I think is going
to be. Way to be selfish.
I'm just saying, no. And then there's nothing against Aziz. There's nothing against Brenton Cox. But watching Adam Anderson run down Justin Fields, granted, Justin had no blocking on some of those plays, but if you can catch Justin Fields, that's impressive. And for a guy whose arms are 19 feet long like Adam Anderson's, I mean, he's going to be fun to watch.
Well, tell us, while we're talking about D-line, that was a good question. How about the other kid we signed? Give us – I mean, there wasn't a lot of real big news about him because he committed so early, but Walter – I mean –
Yeah, Tramiel Walthour. Okay, so –
give us a rundown on him.
Kind of an interesting prospect, I think, from the way that he's built. A guy who – not built very much like Jordan Davis at all. You know, not nearly that big. Right.
Hey, we're going to see Andre the Giant at 10 o'clock tonight on HBO. I'm looking forward to that. Do you know that's on tonight, Roddy?
I'm looking forward to it.
10 o'clock, Andre the Giant.
I did not know that.
Yeah, everybody need to watch that. That's going to be good.
But Walthour is a little bit he's a little thinner. He's a guy who looks like he slates more into that DN role. You know, I think he's probably – big enough that he's not necessarily going to be standing up. Probably a little bit more similar to what you get out of a guy like Jonathan Ledbetter. He's not physically the same, but
he's Josh Dawson right now.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
That's
or maybe even comparatively to David Marshall, a similar build, I think, to a guy like that.
That's good though. You bring guys in though like that that can be flexible enough to move out. You know, I mean, that's the way you look at him, but. We don't waste any scholarships here. I mean, these guys, we got so much competition for the – you know, I'll ask one of these guys, how about this guy? Somebody will send me some tape. And I said, well, you know, he's pretty good. But I never will forget. I got to give you this story here. Dean Smith was a basketball coach at North Carolina when I was a football coach there. And I went up to this school up there in Pennsylvania, and they had this guy that everybody was recruiting in basketball. And I just happened to see Dean at the airport on the way back. And I said, hey, coach, I was in there at such and such high school, and I saw that kid. He really likes North Carolina. You know, he said, well, Jim, he's a good player, but, you know, probably not good enough for me.
Well, you know,
I said, okay, coach, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. He just selectively recruited guys, and I think we're in that position now, too, here.
Well, that's the thing. We've seen this in the 2019 class. All of a sudden, Georgia's sending out a lot of offers, and some high school kids in the state of Georgia are wondering, well, where's my offer? You know, you offered this kid in Texas. You offered this kid in California. You offered this kid in, you know, Iowa. Why didn't I get offered? And it's not a slight against these guys. It's just Georgia can afford to be very picky.
Absolutely.
And also, this is going to be a small recruiting class. So they can afford to be picky, and they're going to they're going to have to be picky because you're not going to be able to sign 24 kids. You know, you're looking sub 20. So,
well, how about last year at this time? Everybody's reading the Riot Act. What in the world is going on?
Yeah, because we started the show about this time last year. We brought it back. You know, UGA Sports Live had been around. Steve Patterson started it, you know, 12 years ago, and we've had different variations of it. And then we were doing it with Dog Dial. Well, then we brought it back to just here at Champions. And when we started doing those first couple shows, I think one of our first shows we mentioned, hey, don't worry about the fact that Georgia doesn't have any recruits. It's only a problem if they miss out on somebody like, I don't know, Brenton Cox.
Yes.
And then he committed to Ohio
State. I remember that very much. I said that. I was like, don't, calm down, unless. And then it happened. And I was like, okay, now you can panic.
Now's the time to panic. But then they wind up signing the number one class by a large margin. So I know that, you know, and right now Georgia's 2019 class. I mean, think about it. If you
Ole Miss is leading the country because they got 15 signed.
Nah, that's garbage.
And you take those numbers like that. How about Ole Miss not – going pro or con on that kid transferring to Michigan?
Yeah,
sure.
That was garbage.
I mean, they still go back to that same deal that, hey, we didn't do anything and all. I mean, we didn't – that's hard to believe.
Yeah. Ole Miss is a wreck right now. But when you look at what Georgia has committed in this 2019 class, if you are a take right now and you pick Georgia, you're getting on there with Jaden Hazelwood.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're getting there with Dominic Blaylock.
Who, as we mentioned last week in that 3-2-1, I said, based on what I've seen out of this guy, I really think that he's got a good chance of vaulting himself back into that number one overall wide receiver spot. Our Adam Gourney goes out, catches him in L.A. this past weekend at the 7-on-7s, and
the
says,
Adidas one.
Yes, this guy.
If he's not really. Well, where would Blaylock be now?
Blaylock's kind of, I think he's definitely top 50. He's right out. He's right up there with him.
I think he winds up in your top six wide receivers in the nation.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but there are, you know, was it Theo Weiss?
Yeah, there's Theo Weiss. There's R.G. Henderson. Those are kind of the two guys that are battling it out.
There are some fantastic wide receivers in this class, and Georgia's got two of the top. But my point being, when you look at those 2019 commits right now, this is the creme de la creme. You know, there's not a bad kid on there. So. You've already got, how many was it, nine kids already?
You're eight. Now you're down to eight after the decommitment of Luke Griffin.
And think about
it. You were all over that last week.
You're basically
halfway
through.
Everybody missed the show last week. He told us it's probably going to.
Yeah, it was not, you know, and
give yourself a little love.
that was a combo effort. You knew things weren't really going well, and Chad Simmons had a great story on it. You know, I think, hey, best wishes to Luke Griffin, a tremendous young player. I remember Sam Pittman very vividly 2 years ago at Kirby Smart's first camps over the summer, calling him his young freak. He showed tremendously then. Ran into some bad injury issues, and Georgia's offensive line recruiting in 2 years has turned a page that nobody thought it would. So I think that, he was just ended up being a casualty. He'll land on his feet. He'll get another great opportunity. But it was, always unfortunate when that ends up happening.
So who takes a spot?
Oh, that's a good question.
Harry Miller?
Harry, I don't think it's going to be Harry, really. I think Harry's probably going to end up at Stanford. I really like his chances to go. He's a valedictorian at Buford High School, so that's pretty strong.
That is
tough.
Yeah,
that's pretty strong.
He's a bright kid.
Devontae Dobbs was in town
recently.
Speaking
of Stanford, did you see that girl on Jeopardy last night?
I didn't.
I was surprised that she wasn't smarter than that. From Stanford. I mean, that girl from Central Florida just kicked butt.
Devontae Dobbs was in town recently out of Michigan. He's a guy to watch, kind of a top-tier guy in the nation. D'Avy Hamilton, former Alabama commit. I know he's been interested in Georgia. Another guy definitely to keep your eyes on, Amari Kite out of Maleen, Alabama. That's where Jake Gainis is coaching. So you got that going for you.
Jake Gainis was here on Saturday.
There you go.
Looked good. I said, Jake, you trying to be a wide receiver? but he's a big proponent for UGA, though. There's a great kid. And I know he helped you with some film stuff last year, Roddy.
Yeah,
and,
yes.
I guarantee you, I interviewed him when I was doing a game at UAB when he was playing there. And then when he came over here for transferring, you know, he knew Coach Pruitt and all that, and he came in and – He walked all the way across the field, came over and spoke to me.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I was very impressed with that. I'm just glad anybody even knows who I am. You know?
Warren McClendon, another name to watch for you there. Somebody on the podcast, or I'm sorry, on the comments over here, Chuck Ward, our old buddy Chuck, he says, any chance with Darnell Wright? He's the kid out of West Virginia.
He's at Huntington East. We got a shot at him. Kirby went up to see him in the during the recruiting process, and he went to see that other kid at the other school in Huntington because I know that one kid had committed to Ohio State, but I think we got a shot at Darnell.
Yeah, okay. That would be a huge pull for sure.
Well, at least got a shot. I mean, Kirby wouldn't go see him, and it's, you know, with all the people they got to look at, he wouldn't.
I've got a couple more recruiting questions, but I do want to hop in on this real quick.
Before we continue on some of the questions there, I want to give a big shout-out to Academia, one of our newest sponsors, and let you all know what's going on this week with them. Tonight, as I mentioned before, is the beer dinner. It's only $55. You get a three-course meal with a chef out there, plus four different beer pours. This week, they have a couple new beers coming out. Like I said, they have new beers coming all the time. And now, I always talk about the restaurant part of it because I'm a fat guy and I love food, but, you know, the Academia is a brew pub. So.
And it's Athens Beer Week this week, yeah. So make sure to celebrate.
So they're doing a ton of stuff, and this week they have a new beer coming out called Take It to the Max, M-A-C-S.
It's a double IPA. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, so, with some that's a collab beer, okay, yeah, with Peak Skills out of New York,
right. And then they have an Imperial Stout. It's going to be released on Friday. They have a local band called the Lucky Jones will be there at 8 to perform on Friday. I can't pronounce the name of this new beer. It's Periscavidcatrophobia.
It's an imperial stout.
It's coming. They have some of the greatest puns, you know, and some of those puns go over my head because this is Academia. These are very smart people out there. Again, they're all Georgia alums out there, so swing by.
Good food to go with the beer, too.
It's fantastic food.
Excellent wings.
And the wings are half off on Monday.
How do you know all these deals, man?
Because it's food, Coach. Come on. And then,
half off.
Yeah, and then they did a tap takeover. I know they did it out at Chops in Watkinsville, but this Thursday night, if you go to Normaltown, go to Hilo, they're going to have a tap takeover.
You can probably bet on running into me there.
Yeah, so Thursday, if you want to swing by and hit him up for some insider information at the Hilo, Academia will be taking over.
Let him get there a couple hours there so he can really let loose and tell you what's going on.
And, of course, Thursday night is their regular live music from 7 to 9. This week is the Dixieland 5, a jazz band. So, and, of course, you know, Sunday.
Brewfest.
Which you can't go to.
I know.
So, because we have
then Sunday we're having the Rivals Camp.
Sunday is Rivals Camp.
Yeah, so I'll be at the Brewfest.
Right. Yes.
We will be at the Rivals Camp. Set up for you to get a little in-depth interview with Max Johnson. Will you do it for us?
Absolutely. You know I will. Absolutely.
I think that is going to be a major, major, major Georgia target right there.
You think?
I figure you put that low-hanging fruit up there for me, Coach.
He might lure Coach back.
Hey, I'm not going to step out on a limb and do the Mockingbird deal, but you talk about, of all the things I've ever told you on this show, you talk about, and Justin Fields is one I said.
You did.
We need to recruit Fields. We need to go Johnson and Johnson.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Him and his brother.
I mean, I just hear more and more about him every week.
And he's got such a limited his team is well coached. And you got to, you know, Coach Nolan does a good job. They just not talent laden. You know, they don't have a lot of receivers and linemen and all. And
well, it's been a Coney County's issue for a long time. They got some good players, but not enough.
You put him with I can't wait to see him on some of these 7-on-7. If he gets on one of those all-star 7-on-7.
Yeah, getting to watch him
in
our one-on-ones is going to be a blast.
Let's get him in the Rivals camp with
Jaden Hazelwood.
Yeah, Dominic Blaylock.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll –
maybe line him up against Jalen
Perry. If I know those two.
Or Booth.
They're probably going to go over and start – trying to recruit him a little bit.
Yeah. Let's see. We got like I said, a couple more recruiting questions. Maurice Carter says, I've been hearing Auburn's trending with Owen Papo. Any truth to this with a commitment date coming up on May 5th? I'll say this. I've heard that things have gotten way tighter than they were. Georgia was a running away with it favorite for a long, long time. And the thing about Owen is don't trust everything that's out there. There's a lot of misinformation going around, even on his part. He's a very savvy kid when it comes to playing the media. He's been doing it since he was in eighth grade, so he knows his way around.
When's coming out? Cinco de Mayo?
Supposed to be Cinco de Mayo, yeah. So we'll find out the news. We'll definitely be there covering it either way. But, yeah, things possibly getting a little tighter there. Kamel Oz says, is Georgia in a good position with QB Taysom Fanamunk now that Howell has committed to FSU and Helinski to South Carolina? He's visited, but I don't think he got an offer. I do think Taysom's going to get his offer from Georgia. However, I don't know that he's going to end. I don't think that he's going to end up being the guy. I think that he's just got some other offers, and they got in early on him. So
that's a guy that pay attention in June when they start hosting all these camps.
Right.
Because a lot of guys have – you have an offer contingent upon you coming to camp and showing that – you know, they want the coaches want to see them. They want to put them through their workouts. And, you know, last year they cut out a lot of camps. I mean, they cut out media access to a lot of these camps. And I was asked, why? Why can't we see them? And he's like, well, we have some guys coming in we don't want y'all to know about.
Well, here's the
and,
thing.
And I can't begrudge them that. But the reason I say that, Coach, is the guys that we know of that have offers, there are a few guys that can come in, get worked out, that might walk away with an offer that can wind up being another Georgia commit.
As much as you want to recruit a quarterback and all that, and you need to, that's for sure, but it's hard for a quarterback to come over here and look at our practice and project himself right now just because of the – not only the two, but then Stetson Bennett goes out there and, I can't impress upon our fans anymore about we're in good shape with him. I mean, he's a player.
Stetson's legit.
He's a lot of teams would have about 10 beers to have him.
Well, I mentioned this in the 3-2-1 that I wrote last fall. I spoke to someone who went to every practice. And, you know, last fall, all we could talk about was Jake Fromm versus Jacob Eason. And I spoke to a person who went to every practice, and he told me, Roddy, if I were the head coach of this football team, if this was my football team, my starting quarterback on day one would be Stetson Bennett. This is a guy who went to every practice.
I don't know if I'd say
that. Well, I'd say it, but the guy was just raving about how good he was.
He's a very talented kid, yeah. And he's got a big arm, and he can really jump around. You know,
he's one of the
Johnny Manziel type size.
Well, they call him Johnny Football.
But they should. He deserves it.
Johnny Manziel.
But that's why a guy like Max is so huge for the class after this. You know, I mean, there's a lot of separation between Max.
Sure.
But who knows? I mean, it's going to be hard to get a good quarterback this year.
And there's no question about it. And they're going – and I'll tell you this. Everything that I've seen, everything I've heard points to Georgia knowing that, first off, and casting a very wide net. I don't know that we've even heard the name of the guy who will maybe end up being the quarterback in this class.
That was basically what I was saying about the camps.
Right.
I think that guy comes in this summer.
You want to look at him. And the other thing that hurts a little bit numbers-wise too, if you got some – war daddy that could play another position, then you know you got to look at it. But there's not many teams anywhere that have are set like we are there. So I mean, you know, we'd like to get, and I would think Kirby would put this kid on scholarship when he gets one available too.
I think he's very deserving. John Sisson here with a quick question. He says, how good will UGA's linebacking core be this year with the influx of incoming freshmen?
Well, from my standpoint, the first thing you look at is who you lost and how you're going to replace them. But we got some experienced guys in there that have had some reps and got some good time last year. We already mentioned Tindall, and, we're not sure where Reese is going to play. But name the other ones there. I don't have that list.
Let's see. We've got. Let me jump back here real quick. I mean, I know that some of the new faces that you're going to be dealing with in the mix are obviously going to be Monty Rice.
I was talking about
Hunter. Sure.
We got Hunter. We got McBride. Yeah. We got Monty Rice.
Some new guys kind of bursting onto the
Crowder,
scene. Let's see. As far as your interior guys, Otis Reese. Quay Walker is a guy who could
real
certainly
deal.
Find his way there. Yeah, definitely. And then Channing. So it was kind of a smaller class from the inside standpoint, I think.
But, I mean, when John's asking about linebackers, does he mean all four of them? Does he mean your two outside linebackers as well? Because right now, to me, this is something I'm kind of worried about for Georgia, losing both outside linebackers, losing your top inside linebacker, basically getting Nate Trez back. That was the heart and soul of this team.
Yeah.
Granted, trust me, I know the work the defensive line put in, but if you remember the biggest plays of the year are, you know, all the strip sacks by Davin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, but
and
you look
Laquan
at Carter
Smith.
Coming back. He was a lot better his last year. Yeah. I think some of these guys, I think Nate Trez having some of this.
Now, Nate Trez will be a star.
He'll do a good job, and these other guys got some reps when he was out. But I feel good about with Anderson and Cox and these other guys. I think we'll be solid there.
I'm kind of terrified.
Inside-wise, you know, these other guys are just going to have to develop a little bit. But we got a good – it's like having a good draft, you know. I mean, we got – we had a good draft with this class. I mean, number one in the country. Come on.
Well, I mean,
five-star players.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Monty Rice, I think, will step up and do a good job. I like DeAndre Walker on the outside. But, you know, now you're starting to get thin. And DeAndre Walker is a great guy. But, I mean, is he a three-down guy, four-down guy? I think there are a lot of questions when it comes to the linebacking core. I'm a little more bullish on the secondary. You know, I'm thinking, okay, you've got DeAndre Baker one side, Mark Webb on the other side, J.R. Reed back there, Richard LeCount, maybe Tariq McGee at start.
William Poole,
yeah.
Wilson.
So, again, you know, I'm more bullish on the secondary. And in the interior, I think Tyler Clark's going to have, you know, a heck of a year. Big Julian Rochester either beside him or next to him. Jonathan Ledbetter. But this linebacking core – to me is a major issue, especially considering the way the defensive line funnels all these running backs to the linebackers.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I'm just a little nervous about it.
Hey, but secondary wise, we made a big leap here. When you look at Webb and you look at Baker, I mean, those are two guys. And then you add in, I think Speed's going to come along exceptionally well. You bring in Campbell, and then you got guys back there on the back end. You already know.
I forgot about Campbell.
You already know Reed can play. And you got Terry LeCount, and then you got just keep going and going. I think Bishop, athletic, going to be back there, and so we'll just have to see. But
and you got some experienced guys like Jarvis Wilson still hanging
right
around.
Right, we brought him up. He's got some good reps in there. I just feel like that anything we might have lost on the edge, we would make up for maybe in a secondary with. Particularly on the edge there.
All right, one last one before we wrap up. Alan Verbonek.
Have we already gone through an hour here?
We have, amazingly.
Amazing.
Alan Verbonek, a little love for the specialists, so that's why I'm showing the question some love. He says, how are we going to be at punter? That's a good question.
Nobody knows.
Well, you know, the thing about punting, it's sometimes – when you get an injury like this kid had, he might come back and be
Marshall Long
might be better than he was, and he certainly had a tough first year. But I think obviously the new guy coming in has got tremendous stats coming Thunderfoot. He's not only a good punter but good place kicker. I think they're counting on him to give a lot of competition there. How you pronounce it?
Jake Camarda.
How you pronounce it?
Camarda.
Martyr,
and that's a guess on my part. We'd have to ask Paul.
But I think we'll be all right there. But I don't know how much we're going to be punting myself.
Well, that's a good point. You don't need to worry about punting if you don't have to. So
hey, also look at when you talk about these depth and recruiting and roster size and all. Some of these teams we're playing early can help us build some depth. There's nothing against our schedule, but, you know, I think when you're playing some of these teams, you get some guys to see how they react without being under life or death like playing Notre Dame and all, you know. But I like – but obviously South Carolina and Missouri early, but, you know, Austin Peay and some of these teams, I think we'll get some depth there.
Yeah, they should be ready by the time they roll into Baton Rouge. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this week. We want to thank 11 Alive Sports for letting us be on their Facebook page and letting us kind of ruin all their stats for the day. Thanks to Champions for letting us come in here and eat up all their food. Big shout out to Athens Ford. Swing out there. Hit up those April deals. Like I said, that Ford Fusion, fantastic vehicle. Swing out there and pick one up. And let them know that you heard about them on the podcast. I mean, I had somebody went out there, bought a vehicle, and didn't mention it. I'm like, hey, you need to let them know that you heard about it on our show. Big shout out to Europie. I didn't really mention them earlier. Europie, the best pizza you can get in town, hands down. Best pizza you can get in hell, anywhere, really. Swing out there, try their sandwiches. And also, they have this fantastic desserts out there. You know I'm going to talk about the dessert. So swing out there, pick up their gelato. It's amazing. Big shout out to Academia. We'll be out there tonight. And, of course, at Cable East with Robert Wall and 365 Game Day. You guys take care. We will talk to you next week.
Say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.